It's a very warm welcome to the Panthers pre-game podcast. We're going to look ahead to the huge game this weekend at home to the Sheffield Steelers as we speak here on Wednesday night. That's effectively a sellout, just a handful of tickets left. I mean, get them quick. Last time I looked, I think there was a few groups of two, threes and maybe the odd four, but get them quickly because they are going to sell out. Of course, Panthers play Manchester on the road on Friday night before that, so we'll look ahead to that. We'll look back on the weekend, give our thoughts on what we saw in the first weekend, and we'll look a general look, of course, around the Elite League, things that we've seen this week. Joined as ever by, well, everyone's in today: Jono Bullard, Ken Feast, Dan Green, and Chris Gadsby, who's holding baby Sophia. Good evening, all.
Good
Evening, everyone.
evening.
Start with you, Greener. Obviously, I spoke to Danny Stewart this week. Interview went out this evening. Thought he was very honest. Always very honest is Danny Stewart. Always appreciate his honesty, and I think the fans do as well. But obviously, it wasn't the ideal start. It wasn't the start we all wanted. But in many ways, is it kind of, is it kind of good to get that away as a player? Get that out the way early. Realize that it can't be this way, and just forget about it and move on.
Yeah, exactly that. I think, that there were still some, some positives over the weekend. And I think it just shows the harsh reality of the Elite League. We're obviously going to be one of the best teams and we've got a really good team. But if you don't play for 60 minutes or if you take a night off, it's going to cost you. And I think it's exactly like you said. I think it's good for the new guys maybe in the league to realize that early, that it's very competitive. Anyone can beat anyone. And yeah, if you don't show up even for 15, 20 minutes, you can kind of get burnt. But I think it's too early. Obviously no panic buttons being hit yet. But as you said, I think it might be good, in the Challenge Cup, lose a couple. You obviously never want to lose, but if you're gonna lose a couple early in that, and it'll maybe just kickstart them for this weekend.
Jono, Danny Stewart said in that interview that effectively he watched both games back, and it really only was two periods out of six. You look at it; it was the third period against Cardiff, and then the first period against Guildford. Apart from that, did you agree with that assessment? And do you see plenty of positives in those other four periods that match the pre-season optimism?
Yeah, because the first two periods against Cardiff, I thought we were really good, especially the second period against the Devils. I've only seen like bits of the highlights of Sunday, so I can't really comment too much on that. But obviously, when I saw the score, I was quite surprised to see how far down we were at the end of that 20 minutes. But you're right, it's like two bad periods have really cost us this weekend. But like Dan said, and I agree with everything Dan said, that it shows the harsh reality that if you do take even a period off in this league, you are going to get punished. And I think we just got punished this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think you are. And like you said, it really was just that one real, it was a great period. I thought Cardiff was superb in that third period, and we didn't have an answer. And Guildford, credit to them as well. It's a bit harder to tell on a webcast, but they cut us open time and time again, and fully deserve what they had and what that lead was at the end of the first. Ken, that Cardiff game, I mean, maybe I'm going too far to say old time hockey, but maybe there was a bit, the scuffles by the bench. Do you know what I mean? Like there was a real feel of what it used to be like. It obviously didn't, never boiled over perhaps in the way it did years ago, and it did settle down. But there was a lot of fun and a lot of scuffle and rough and tumble, especially really in that second period on Saturday.
Yeah, it was fun to watch. It was good. I was obviously I'm on comms with a few people throughout the game. Steph Litchfield, the obviously the announcer, being one of them, and he was really enjoying the sort of old time element of it. So yeah, shout out to Steph on that. I mean, it was entertaining. If you came and you watched that game, despite the result, it was an entertaining game of hockey. And it had, like you say, had more or less everything. I think just that failure to kind of be dialed in for the full 60 minutes just really, really cost us. And not to repeat what's already been said, but I guess, yeah. Is there you don't want to have that start? I'm glad it's the Challenge Cup. I think to get humbled a couple of times, in the first weekend, gives you an opportunity to go away and think and kind of look at really, you know, take a bit of a look in the mirror and sort of go, right, what does it take, and how do you need to play to be successful? I think that's, yeah, you have to take the positives out of it. I mean, in Danny's interview, he said, you're not going to dwell on it, and I think that's a good thing as well, because you don't want to punish yourself too much. The games come thick and fast, and you know, this weekend we're going to a tough rink on Friday night. It's going to be a difficult place to play, horrible place to play in terms of the conditions in there. And I think, you know, Manchester do a great job of capitalising on that and playing to the strengths of their own rinks. That's going to be a tough game, and then it doesn't get any tougher than the Sheffield Steelers at home. Steelers are going, you know, they're coming into to do a job on us, and we need to be ready because you know, we've got no choice really. So yeah, it'd be interesting.
Chris, I feel like, you know, a lot of us on this podcast in our predictions, we talked about who we thought would do well. And I feel like if we're all honest, we probably all said Cardiff maybe had a look about fourth. I think we all said, you know, the way the rosters were shaping up, there was Nottingham, Sheffield, Belfast. And, you know, I think if I remember from my comments, I said, you know, on paper, they look a heavier side. But then I remember also counterbalancing that. And Green has said this a lot as well. I know, don't write off any team that's put together by Tomo. He has the experience in this league. You know, you saw that in his younger days with Coventry. He's then, of course, you know, won with Sheffield and then gone abroad and won the playoffs last year. And I don't know about you, but I was really impressed with Cardiff. I mean, ironically, you know, when they were playing physical, especially in that second period, I felt that we stood up to those physical battles and we had our best moments of the game. We took a 3-1 lead. I feel like Cardiff knuckled down and played a bit of good hockey in the third period, and that's when they were at their best. What, you know, I was actually very, very impressed with Cardiff on Saturday.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that, you know, similar to what Ken was saying with Steph, absolutely love that kind of old school hockey feel and finishing the hits and a player ending up in the photography bench and even Luca getting involved when there was that big scrum in front of the Panthers bench. But again, it just goes to show how nothing is taken for granted in this league. I mean, we've seen already, you know, opening day, Dundee managed to go to Belfast and score seven, and then last night they end up losing 4-0 to five. So you really have to be on it all the time. And Panthers weren't in the third period on Saturday, and it cost them. And they weren't in the first period on Sunday, and it cost them again.
Moving ahead to the weekend, Greener, how good is it to have a sold out barn on Saturday? Sheffield Steelers, the guys that have been here before, they know all about it. A real early chance, a real big game feel to get these new guys used to this big rivalry.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's always good in hockey. If you have a, you know, poor performance or a poor weekend, you can bounce back a few days later. And as you said, there's the none bigger. You know, Danny's not going to be having to get any guys, you know, up for the game on Saturday. And like you said, it'll be sold out and the place will be rocking. So, you know, they get to bounce back, you know, straight away with the biggest rivalry in the country. And yeah, you know, if you can't get up for that game, then there's definitely problems. So I think they'll be happy that it's not a like a sort of easier weekend, if you want to call it. They're straight back in the fire. And yeah, you know, if they can get that win over Sheffield Saturday, that will certainly put last weekend in the rearview mirror quite quickly. So that'd be nice.
Do you know, obviously we start the weekend with Manchester. We've touched on them a bit already. We've seen them in pre-season, won that game, of course, in pre-season. What have you been able to glean from Manchester in their early results and how their roster has shaped up?
Yeah, they seem quite competitive. They are, I think they are losing tonight though in Glasgow. They're currently 3-1 down in the third period against the Glasgow Clan. But they had a good battle in two games with Coventry winning at home and then taking them to overtime at the Sky Dome on Sunday night. I think they put together what looks like a pretty exciting roster. Obviously, Cam Critchlow's first season as head coach after retiring as a player. I mean, Gary Haydon, who we all know from Glasgow Clan, has gone there. They seem to have got a very, very good defenseman in Nick Welsh as well, who's played in the Liiga in Finland. So he looks a very, very good pickup. And they've managed to get a few young Brits coming back over from North America where they've been playing. So they're going to be no pushovers whatsoever, especially in that rink. And I think they're going to be competitive, but I think everybody's going to be competitive. I was looking at some up and down rosters throughout this week, and I just think this has the potential to be probably the most competitive Elite League season there's been for a long, long time. I would not be surprised that if it's a less than 70% win percentage that takes the Elite League this season. I think it is going to be very, very close.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point, actually, because those teams, I think you're right. Like the teams who are perhaps, lower mid-table will have certainly beefed up this year. There's a lot. I mean, there was some real early season optimism in Fife, which was kind of dented with their first few results, but then they get that great result on Tuesday. I did read today that they've got some injuries and they're already a bit short bench, and they'll need to add some players if they can. Do you think Jono's right, Ken? Is it going to be a I know we're yet to see everybody, but from what you can glean from what you've seen around us, is it going to be a tight run thing this year?
I think so. I think, last year any team could beat any team on a given night, and it only takes a poor run to torpedo your chances and change the kind of what the table looks like. So I think, yeah, I think the standard from what I've seen sort of recruiting over the summer, all the teams have kind of stepped up a level. So I think, yeah, it's going to be extremely competitive, and I'm looking forward to, obviously, it's always great to play Sheffield and whatnot. But I'm looking forward to seeing, some of the Scottish teams come in, see how they shape up against us. I think if you're getting into hockey now, you're listening to this podcast, and you're sort of looking and whether you're a season ticket holder. Hopefully, you're a season ticket holder. But if you're not, if you're kind of just dipping your toe and you're picking and choosing your games, don't sort of just stick with the perceived top of the table clubs. Really do think hard about, saying this to somebody who was asking me, which game should I come and see? And I said, wish any on a given night is going to be a great game. And I think, maybe in the past, go back 10 years, maybe be saying, oh, well, don't come to this one. That's not the case now. You're guaranteed to see something, no matter which team. You cannot write off any teams. You can't say, oh, you can't underestimate them, because, as we've seen and continue to see with results so far, it's early on, but any team can punish any team.
Well, Fife, I mean, Fife Panthers and Fife have got a great, history built on tradition. The two oldest clubs in the Elite League, that's a great rivalry that goes back many, many decades. And yeah, you're absolutely right, Ken. Every team brings in its unique feature. And say, going back to Fife again, will they bring in that rough element? I've not really been keeping an eye out. Chris, you keep your eye probably across the league more than anyone with your prediction leagues. Ooh, we'll come on to that as well. But have Fife really been picking up the penalty minutes? It doesn't feel like they have.
Not that I've really had too much of a look at the penalty minutes, to be honest, but I wasn't expecting that big win for them yesterday. I think it does show, as Jono said, that the low kind of win percentage and points percentage that will do things for clubs this season. You look at the Challenge Cup last year where Belfast ended up, running away with Group B, and that might not be the case this year after a couple of games. But it's going to be really important to not have these kind of compounding runs, like Ken said. Panthers have lost the opening two games of the weekend. It's been a long time since that's happened, and what they can't do is afford to slip up again really this weekend, because if they do that, it's going to make, even at this early stage, qualification for the semi-finals of the Challenge Cup very difficult.
Well, that was going to be my next question. Where is this? What do you foresee the points? You play 10 games. Obviously, the top two from our group A, go automatically. Then it's the third team that plays in the play-in, isn't it?
Now they've changed that this year. It's just the points percentages this year.
Oh, of
So
course they have,
it's the
haven't they?
top two.
Yeah.
So the winners of each group are automatically through. And then it could be two teams from Group A. It could be one and one.
So points percentage, you're right. I remember that. So there's no play-in game this year.
No, which is why it's even more important to pick up points this weekend, because otherwise, if you end up only being able to get to a maximum of a 600 points percentage for the group, you ain't going to get through.
You're absolutely right, and I remember that now. So points group. So it's not first and second in. It's point percentage across the two groups. That's brought that memory back. They put that out a few weeks ago, didn't they? Which is right. So you're right there, Chris. I wouldn't say it's essential must wins Friday and Saturday, but I guess it's getting pretty close.
Yeah, I would say so. I think particularly, I mean, that Sheffield game is going to be crucially important, but I think the Manchester game is definitely a must not lose, really, for Panthers if they want qualification, even at this early stage.
Yeah, just going through this, just to. I'm glad you said that. You're way more on the ball than me. So the top two group winners will be seeded first and second based on their group stage win percentages. The remaining qualifiers will be seeded third and fourth, also by their win percentage. So there you go. So they could all come from Panthers group. They could, it's very interesting. Then the semi-final matchup will be the first seed against the fourth seed, the second seed against the third seed. It says here, though, the result of the elimination game will not be factored into the seeding calculation. Only group stage results count towards win percentage. And the result of the elimination game will not be factored into the seeding calculation. So it does
Is
mention
that?
elimination, the game there.
I was sure there wasn't one. I might be misremembering, or that could be accidentally left over from a previous year, but.
Come on, someone with a bit of knowledge. Come on, we're very uneducated here. But see, that's why at the back of my mind, I thought there was still an elimination game. But
Well,
yeah,
according to the Glasgow Clan website, there's no quarterfinal.
it sounds like that'd be contradictory, wouldn't it? If it doesn't count for anything, why would you have it?
Maybe we need to
Hang
maybe
on,
we need
I've got the Elite League press release from the 26th of August.
That's the one I've just read out, Jono. That's the exact one I've just read.
Oh,
That's exact one I've just read out.
does it say anything about a carrier bag?
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, hey, Greener. Oh, Greener's gone. Are you there, Greener?
He's
Oh,
just
oh, you're there. You watching Forest?
no, come
He's in. He's
on.
like me. He's in the Reform the Challenge Cup lobby.
So
Yeah, I'm watching
I'm get
the.
from reading that press release, what I'm getting is there is going to be an elimination game, but once that's over with, it will, the seedings will still be based on win percentages from the group stages.
I thought there was an elimination game still, but you're right. That press release does cast a tiny bit of doubt. We'll get some clarification and we'll report back next week. I'm sure our GMs and coaches, I'm sure they all know. But even if we don't, but you're right. That there to me makes me suggest. I thought that thing still existed because we didn't we play in it the other. Did we play?
We do, we
Yeah,
beat
we played
Glasgow.
Glasgow. Well, that was when we played them off the park, beating because a lot of our games were close with them, weren't they? We beat them 5-1 that
Yeah,
night.
we hammered them at home.
But all our other games with them
To
were.
quote Corey Neilson from that night, Nottingham kicked our ass.
Oh, is that what he said? So let's move on to some other, kind of early thoughts. You're looking at, who's happy at the early stages. Cardiff have got 4 points. Sheffield have got 3 points in the cup table. Manchester 3 points. Dundee Stars 4. Belfast 2. I mean, going to you, Green. These early results. How much do you read into early results? We've had pre-season. Obviously, teams have been getting fine-tuned pre-season. Do we read much into early results on the way things might go, or is it still too early to make any real firm calls right now?
Yeah, I think it's. I think if these games were in the league, you would say it's way too early. But I mean, obviously, with them being Challenge Cup, these teams are already getting points on the board, you know. So it's. I certainly don't read too much into, you know, the league winner. You know, obviously Belfast are going to finish higher in the league than Dundee are, but they beat them this weekend. But you know, I think, you know, Belfast will be a bit not thrilled with their start. Obviously, we're probably not, as you said. You know, Manchester, Cardiff, Sheffield, all probably pretty happy. But, you know, so in the Challenge Cup, things are starting to take shape. And, you know, like Chris said, you know, you have another bad weekend and you're kind of really behind the eight ball. But I mean, I think in the longevity of the kind of 8 month season, I wouldn't take too much too seriously just yet, you know, where teams are going to finish and things. But there's certainly been some teams that have started very well and teams that, you know, have probably underachieved this first weekend, but you know, there's still so far to go. But I think just purely the Challenge Cup, you know, you could argue that after this week and this weekend's games, there'll already be some teams in, you know, either really good or really bad positions. So this time next week, when we do this podcast, it'll be a lot clearer, I think.
So Ken, you did enter Chris's Chris and Sophie Bonds. What's her surname,
Bonser.
Chris? Bonson, that's it. I see her as Sophie Bonds. So yeah,
Yeah.
Chris and Sophie Bonds prediction league. Ken, you entered, didn't you?
Yeah, I entered and then the second round of predictions completely forgot.
Yeah.
Was reminded by your tweet, and by the time I went in to do it, it was done. So as in I couldn't, it wouldn't allow me. I was past the cutoff. I did do my predictions for tonight. I can't remember what they were. I very much do it in the moment.
Me
I,
too.
you know, if I was able to predict sports, I would definitely not be on this podcast. I would be.
You said 3-1 to Glasgow.
Oh, did I?
Currently three,
What
it's currently 3-2 at the minute,
happened?
with about 10 minutes
You
left.
know what I did the other day? Because of the way it's shaped, you put your results at the top and then the in the format. I think I put like one game like 4-2, but then I went to the game and I put overtime. I mean, I realized in time, but obviously I put it in because, of course, you do your five results, and then obviously the next box below, it's not like they're together, so it's like the five results. So when it came to it, it's like, oh yeah, that'll be overtime. But luckily, I checked back up and went, oh no, I've called that one 4-2. Chris, is this rumor correct that you're top?
Joint top after at the moment, yeah, before tonight.
You got to remember, so I'm massively influenced by like emotion, and so I'm like I'm that guy that as the ring walks were happening was like, yeah, Conor McGregor's definitely going to knock out Floyd Mayweather, you know, that's me. I like get drawn into the emotion of it, so I'm terrible at anything like that, terrible. So you know, if I get some success, it's like a blind squirrel finding a nut, to be honest with you.
Well, I look at it every week. There's not a chance any week I'm going to put Panthers defeat down. You know what I mean?
No,
Like,
exactly.
well, this
Yeah.
is the hilarious thing because then people end up, you get to the end of the season and somebody's predicted that Panthers will go 54-0-0.
Yeah. You
Well,
know, I'm
I
not.
basically, you know, I put us down to win everything because you can't not. Like, it feels like
Yeah.
it's disingenuous to not. I mean, if I didn't. You've got to have that. I mean, it is the hope that kills you, but it's like, you know,
Yeah.
you've got to have that belief as you're doing it. Can't go against your club.
No, and you're right. I mean, you know, we'll go to Cardiff or Sheffield or Belfast, and you'll be in your head, you'll be like, this is a tough game tonight, whatever.
Yeah, I'm not
Might
going
be
to
a
bet
couple.
against the Aladdin Cup champions. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, might be a couple of guys out, and you know, your kind of head will say, like, oh, we might get beaten
Yeah.
here, and then your heart will go, no, we'll find a way. So, yeah, I'm certainly not every Panther, you know, every Panthers game. Did Jono, did you join?
I
Yeah.
did. I'm six at the minute, I think.
Cool.
Where am I?
Six at
Where
the
am I?
minute.
Mid table, mid to
Ken,
left.
you are tied 51st.
Do you think
And
it harmed me not putting any predictions in on Sunday?
yeah.
Probably.
Doesn't it give you like an average of everyone else's predictions if that happens, or do you just not get any points?
No, you just don't get any points. You can't just not do it and then get points for it.
Is just travel. It should at least keep you where you were.
Yeah, that's it. Because Jono rose massively. I remember now the message in the group chat. Jono rose massively between Saturday and Sunday, didn't he?
That's the story.
Just a bit. Green is looking a bit bored. Green, you didn't enter, did you?
I didn't even know anything about this, but I'm
We
probably a
discussed
bit like
it.
Ken. I probably wouldn't be that great with it, so
No,
I'll leave it
no.
to the experts.
You're not a big social media man, are you? So you, it's been on social media a bit, really.
I wouldn't have seen it, to be honest. I doubt.
I mean, you could predict last weekend's results now if you want, like.
Yeah.
Spurs isn't an
Could
option
be.
either. You can't bet on. You
No, no.
Oh, I'd never bet on Spurs.
Changing tack completely temporarily, I have found that press release that you read, and yeah, there is still an elimination game for the Challenge Cup, but the wording of the press release made it seem like there wasn't one until the very last sentence.
Yes, I think that's where we've been flummoxed a bit. Like it yes. So basically, but what I want to know is who will play in the elimination game?
So it will still be second in Group B, third in Group A, but then the seeding for the semi-finals doesn't take that elimination game into
Right.
account.
So to be fair, for the wording of the press release, it does just say one small tweak. So they kind of have explained the tweak there. So maybe we'll, we'll sit on the fence there, but it did say one small tweak. So what we're saying is elimination stays, and then for the semi-final seedings, it will go on those points percentage.
Yeah, because it's not, there's no longer that pick your own opponent thing.
Yes. Yeah,
Follow
which
us for
is
more well-informed detail on on the ins and outs of the Challenge Cup.
yeah. We've been really informative on this podcast. I love it. Yep, Jeff Brown's coming back, hey? Have you seen that, Greener, for all his testimonial?
You know, I haven't seen it, but I remember him. I think Ollie did say he had a couple of names, and he was potentially one of them. So, yeah, if that's official, that's amazing. Yeah, like he was obviously here fairly recently. I know he was, obviously a huge fan favorite, great teammate, really good guy. So, yeah, hopefully that will, help draw some people in, and I'm sure he'll be a lot of fun on the night. So, yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, Jeff Brown and Guy Le Pin confirmed so far. He's got a few tricks up his sleeve. He's got a few names to announce. Ollie has as well. Already 1,600 tickets sold, which is absolutely remarkable. And I know we touched on it last week, but fair play to him. What an absolute legend of the club, Ollie Betteridge is, and to get 1,600 in a week is absolutely fantastic. We're kind of running out of town, and unless anyone's got any kind of big points they want to throw into the fire.
I'd got a point. I was just thinking about reflecting on our pre-season and then the start, and it did sort of make me think. You say we talked about it. We had a good pre-season, and there was it was promising, and we saw some really good periods of play, and obviously got the right results, stuff like that. I think maybe as a result of that, I'm just interested in what people think. Do you think that maybe meant that we didn't try a few more kind of options on the lines and things like that? Do you think you'll see Danny shake things up a little bit going into the weekend, maybe make a few tweaks? I don't know. What are people's thoughts?
It's interesting because he quite clearly in pre-season did have three lines, obviously, that you could see the shape of those lines
Yeah.
working, couldn't you? I do wonder, will he change things around? Obviously that top line of Fossier, Doherty, Chase Pearson, do you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of quality on that line, but might he feel, because it's a very, I mean, Greener, you're a good one to answer this. I guess a coach doesn't know. It's an interesting call to stick or twist, because he clearly had lines in mind for the start of the year, and we saw them develop over pre-season. During this season, they're never going to stay. It'd be a miracle if your line stayed together all season because of form, because of injury, and because of form. So, Danny can go two ways, can't he? He can say, actually, no, I trust my gut instinct, and these lines are going to be how I thought they were going to be. Don't forget, obviously, Matt O'Farrell's got to come back into the mix as
Yeah.
well later on. Or he could go, actually, we were disjointed. I'm going to try something else. It's a really interesting mindset for a coach, isn't it, to do that.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's obviously, really blessed with the squad he has that, he can mix things up if he wants to. He's, as you said, Alfaro's not back yet, but he's got so many options, so many, different combinations he could use. I think, as you mentioned, that line, the sort of Pearson, Doherty, Fossier line, you know, I think even if they're quiet for a game or maybe have a couple of periods where they're not at their best, I don't think he's going to just break them up, you know, over the odd game or something. I would imagine if they're all healthy and in the lineup, they'll be together most of the season. But yeah, I think, you know, he's not going to hit the panic button and, as Corey would say, just throw the numbers into a blender and pull them out and see where they are. He's, you know, but I think they'll be very similar, you know, for the game on Friday. But, you know, a bad period there or, you know, another not great game, and he'll certainly look to mix it up and, you know, give guys maybe more ice time that aren't playing as much and, you know, is still very young. There are still some combinations that, you know, won't have been tried and tested yet. But I certainly don't think he'll be hitting the panic button anytime soon. He's going to give them another couple of games and then, you know, kind of see where we're at from there, I would say anyway.
Be interesting, won't it? I mean, injuries always are part of a season, but you know, there might be a decision to make it, you know, as soon as Matt Alfaro come back, because there's 13 forwards right now to go into 12. So again, Ken, that's going to be an interesting choice for the coach when Alfie gets back and fit and is back ready. He's obviously going to have to decide a player. And I guess it states the obvious, but he may have had in mind, you know, Vulcan was the last one in, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be the one to sit out. It will probably very much go on form, wouldn't you say?
I think so. Yeah, definitely. I don't disagree with that. And I think I wouldn't see. I mean, one thing I would say is, you know, Green has made some really good points there around how, you know, I guess the coaching mindset, and he gets that from the inside of the dressing room and having been there and whatnot. But I do think I wouldn't necessarily, if Danny did decide to try a couple of other options or whatever, I wouldn't necessarily see it as hitting the panic button. Maybe just, I don't know, just maybe trying a few things that, you know, might spark something. But yeah, definitely not like putting all the numbers into a blender. But yeah, I like that analogy. That's pretty cool.
Didn't that once happen for a 2020 competition or something like that? What was the
Players out of a hat.
yeah,
See,
the 2020 when we lost 6-0 to Coventry
in Sheffield.
in the 4-on-4, 3-on-3 tournament. It was called 2020, wasn't it? Didn't we? Didn't...
Just 20-minute
In fact,
periods, wasn't
Greener,
it?
you were in goal for Sheffield. I interviewed you on the ice. You
Greener
backstopped
won it for
the area.
Sheffield.
You won. You
He
were in
had a
goal in the final.
stellar tournament.
Yeah, I think Corey did famously say that, didn't he? That they like before it, they just picked the lines out of a hat and stuff.
Think that's it. I
Caden
think,
Logan, I think.
yeah, I think, and Blake Richardson maybe, and he said that in a live interview, I think, with me on the bench, because we were given this great access to do interviews on the bench. And you're right, he said that, and he rested players as well, didn't he? He decided to rest players for the quarterfinal in a bid to get them ready in the semis, and we got knocked out 6-0.
Yeah, I can't remember. We didn't play Nottingham. I think you might have lost to maybe Belfast, someone in the
No, it
first
was
game. But
Coventry.
yeah, I
We lost
remember like,
6-0 to Coventry, I think.
oh, that's right. Yeah, I don't think Bergie played. I don't think Clarkie played, from what I can
No.
remember. But
No, but you won it. Have you still got the medal?
I'm sure I will have somewhere. Yeah, I've got a really good picture from that actually on the front. Remember Power Play magazine?
Yeah.
And I was on the front cover lifting the trophy. I don't even know if we got medals, to be honest, for that, because it was just kind of a one-off thing, wasn't it? If we did, I will still have it. But
It was good. It was good. It was a shame it never hit off, but it was great. It was, you know, Saturday. Everyone played on the Saturday in their league games or cup games or whatever, and then we all went to Sheffield on the Sunday. But yeah, it was
yeah, it was quite well attended. I mean, I remember there probably being like maybe 3,000, something like
I
that. So
think
obviously
maybe
wasn't going
more
to.
than that, I think.
I think there was 5 or 6. Yeah.
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 No, it was
Anyway,
way.
that's it. We're running out of time. It's a good way to end. Remembering the 2020 Hockey Fest. That's what it was called. Thanks a
That's
lot,
it.
guys. Good to talk to you. Don't forget, final.
How many tickets left, Chris, for Saturday?
For Sheffield?
Yeah.
About 90, I think, as we stand. Barely any. So just literally a handful. And then if you can't get them for that, Guildford, get your tickets for Guildford, because that's over half full already, a week on Saturday, the 27th of September. But for now, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the post-game podcast.